Hey everyone, welcome to the Grace Hour, our program that takes a dive into the believer's daily challenges and helps them to learn their faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Matt Garrett, and today I am joined by our special guest, Pastor Paul Androlonis, middle school basketball coach extraordinaire, youth department volunteer slash leader slash all jack of all trades. And we're here today to talk about our week-long theme is healthy change. And specifically, we're here to tackle the question, how do you bring about healthy change? So I'm going to kick it right over to Pastor Paul to start. Pastor Paul, the question on the floor, how do you bring about healthy change?
Well, first I'd like to talk about changing is something that we experience a lot as human beings throughout our lives and throughout the circumstances that we go through in our lives. And I think recognizing that things are changing and then recognizing where that healthy change can take place, how we can change and progress in a way that's beneficial to us and in a way that is possible with God's leading, understanding what that looks like. And I think healthy change looks, to me, when I think about healthy change, I think of where that changes, what I want the end goal of that change to be in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, why am I changing? Nice. Like, is something in my life, is there something wrong with the circumstances that I'm in? Is there something that is pushing me towards something and I am changing because I want to get to a particular goal? Mm-hmm. I want to be healthier. I want to avoid a circumstance. I want to avoid a trial or a situation that I'm in, and I want to move in a direction towards something, or am I just changing because I don't like where I am and I don't know what I want next, but I just want to get out of the circumstance that I'm in. So I think healthy change is something like recognizing where I'm going and what I want to do in my life, or why it is that I'm changing. Mm-hmm. And I think it has to start with the changes that we make sometimes are external changes, mm-hmm. but really we have to make changes on the inside in order for them to actually be legitimate and to really be long-standing and long-lasting changes that are leading us towards a healthy end goal.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really great point. Maybe I'm just going to reiterate it for a second. Healthy change, we could say, starts on the inside, starts mm-hmm. with our spiritual nature, starts with our spiritual walk with God, mm-hmm. and then it permeates outward to mm-hmm. to our behaviors, our mm-hmm. thinking, our whatever actions take place, whatever words come out of our mouth, it starts from there. A lot of times you'll find people change something outwardly, mm-hmm. and they kind of put on like a little facade, and this outward change actually does not reflect who they are on the inside. This is really interesting. I think it's maybe in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus says Satan can present himself mm-hmm. outwardly mm-hmm. as an angel of light, and that's deceptive in nature. And so how do we guard ourselves against that? How do we keep ourselves focused on the change being from the inside out rather mm-hmm. than from the outside to send a picture to people of what mm-hmm. we want them to think we are, how we are?
Yeah, I mean, I think with this change that we're talking about, it starts in our heart. Mm-hmm. And I'm, with a biblical psychology class that I'm teaching, it's like the heart is like, I dream about it. I think about it. It's always on my mind right now, especially, but starting with our innermost, who we are on the innermost part of us, is recognizing that I'm deficient and I need God to make me, to be sufficient for me, mm-hmm. right? And when I recognize that and I transition from where I shift from that, me doing it to God doing it, I mm-hmm. can recognize a change within me. And then that spirit of God inside of me, like you said, permeates to the rest. If I'm trying to change my environment, my circumstances, my job, my geographic location, what my hair looks like, what I wear, all these different things, I try to change people's perception of me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Maybe their perception of me will change, but what about my perception, like who I am? And cause I know this is a facade that other people are seeing,
yeah,
but I'm still who I am. And God has to do that transition in my life of shifting me from me wanting to put on that facade to being okay with who I am in who he is, and then being able to demonstrate that change outwardly from the inside out, as opposed to, you know, because those, you know, painting the walls or doing those types of things,
it's like cosmetics,
you know, ornaments on the ears, lipstick, all those different things it talks about. Like, it's the heart that really is what needs to have that change in order for me to fully experience it. And I think that that's something that's maybe difficult for us. Or I think naturally speaking, from a human perspective, it's so common to change those external circumstances, those things, and expect my life to be different.
Yeah.
But,
right.
But we go with, you know, I'm still in that new place.
Yeah.
Or I'm still behind that new, those new clothes and whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So I'm still, that change maybe isn't long lasting.
Yeah.
Unless it's done from the inside.
Sure.
You know?
And sometimes we make those outward cosmetic changes to more appease ourselves than we do actually to have some sort of positive effect in the long run. Mm-hmm. It's more just like a short term gain than it is anything that's lasting.
Yeah.
I think I had a verse where I was thinking about this, and I think it's kind of vital to this idea of change. This word in the Greek is only used a few times in the New Testament, and it's in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, mm-hmm. and it's the word for transformed. So I'm going to read Romans 12 verse 2, and it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So here we have that idea of the change starting inside. The transformation is really the Greek word that gives us, I think the word is metamorpho-o. You think of like a caterpillar. We've given this example before. You think of a caterpillar going into a cocoon, coming out as something totally different. It transforms in the cocoon. What's happening in the cocoon of our spiritual lives, of our hearts? We're being renewed in our minds by Christ. So this metamorphosis that takes place, this change, it starts inwardly and it goes outwardly. But the most important part is that, so we started the show with this question, how do you bring about healthy change? I think the biggest flaw to that question is having the word you in the question. Yeah. It's more about how does God bring about healthy change in our lives? Yeah. Because if it becomes about us, then it's already like deficient. It's already flawed in a way, because the nature of man is like short of the nature of God. It's less than, it's imperfect. So we have the renewing of our mind taking place. I have like a ton of verses on this. We don't have to go into it right now, but just to say that God is the one who's renewing our minds day by day.
Yeah.
What's that verse we were talking about in our meeting? The outward man perishes.
2 Corinthians 4.
Yeah, what's that say?
2 Corinthians 4:16, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day."
Nice.
And then later on it says, you know, we look at the things that are seen, look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So our outward man is perishing, and the inward man is being renewed day by day. And that's renewed is the same, you know, same word that's used in Romans 12, too, being renewed in your mind.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, our outward man is perishing. And I think as we progress as human beings through the different stages of life, you know, you grow up, you're in high school, you go to college, you're not, you know.
Yeah.
I'm in my 30s now, and my outer man is perishing. Man, it's like
we're in our 30s.
I've been telling my wife, like, the inner man needs to catch up, you know, needs to be renewed, because my outer man is perishing. I have something wrong with me every other day.
It needs to take charge.
It seems so.
Needs to heal my failing knees.
Exactly. So, like, we have this inner man, this, like, renewal that takes place in our lives, so that as these changes take place, because that's something I think as human beings, it's hard for people to, you know, you get to a certain point where you can't do all the things that you used to do when you were young, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is. We have this progression, and like, we have to have this renewal that happens inside of us. Like, so these changes that happen on the external aren't the things that are, you know, impacting us spiritually and emotionally in our, you know, or in our soul. So, but like I was thinking of when talking about that renewing of your mind, of the neuroplasticity that we have in our physiology, in our brains, like some people may think like healthy change, I can't change. Right. I'm stuck in this, whatever is going on in my life. And I've been this way for so long. And this is just who I am. And this is just what I do. And I've tried this and I've tried that. And I've done all these things to try to help myself in this area, whatever it is. But like our brains have been designed in a way that we can rewire it to adjust our behaviors, to adjust the things that we do. And it's amazing how God, you know, I think of renewing our mind is that process of synaptic pruning, where those things that I don't want to do are taken away. And those things that I do want to do, that God wants me to do, I'm able to build those new neural pathways in my brain so that I can have that change, legitimate change, and really forget those things that are behind and press forward towards those things that are ahead of me that God has for me, you know?
Nice. Yeah. I think that takes us perfectly into our first question. And just to make note of this, if you're following along on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, we welcome your comments and questions. Feel free to write in on the chat. We will be monitoring that as we go. We love to hear from you guys, and we thank you for listening. So our first question in relation to the whole theme here is, how do we normalize change in our daily lives? And I think you just made a really great point. It's like, it's almost that in your brain, you're practicing the possibility of change. You don't necessarily have to be making changes all the time, but the fact that you remain flexible and open to the idea that changes are going to take place, whether you're in control of it or not, that goes a long way just in your mindset and just in your spiritual walk with God. Like, we heard yesterday, Pastor Dennis White speaking on the topic, and he quoted Malachi 3:6, and it's like, I am the Lord, I change not. Yeah. We have such a constant and consistent God that no matter what trials, tribulations, changes take place in our life, we're still looking at the same God for answers in all of those different circumstances.
So
what would you say, how would you approach this question? How can we normalize change in our daily lives?
Well, I think like normalizing change, I think recognizing that what's the alternative to not to change in my life. If I don't change, right, then I become familiar. I get complacent. I just, you know, I'm stuck. Maybe I'm comfortable.
Sure.
But there's not necessarily any growth happening. I'm just, my life is the way that it is, and that's just the way it's going to be, you know? And I think we can ignore the fact that our lives are changing, but that doesn't change the fact that it is changing.
That it is happening.
Like, it's a change in some ways. Sometimes it's us doing the changing, but in other ways, there's outside things that are happening in our lives that are out of our control that are changes that are, you know, aging, you know, circumstances that we live in culturally, you know, socially and all these different things. These changes aren't necessarily things that we have control over, or we develop or we plan out. It just sometimes it happens. So normalizing it, I think, is something that we should embrace. You know, change is something we should embrace in order that we can grow and get and become you know, more reliant and more dependent on God, so that, you know, it's not necessarily me being comfortable with change, but me recognizing that God's in control and the things are going to change, but I have God in my life and he's in control. So I'm able to adjust and move forward and, you know, live my life, in the midst of a world that's ever changing.
Yeah.
You know, things are different every day. Things are new, things are different. So, when I recognize, like you said, God is unchanging. So he is something I can be anchored to.
Right.
And when the winds and storms and tides and all these different things change, I can recognize that I'm still stuck to him and he's in control of what's happening in my life, you know? So
yeah, he's not letting go of us through, through whatever the changes are.
Yeah.
I'm going to contrast you just for a second, just in the concept of change in general. We have in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "The thing that has been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." So we have this concept in Ecclesiastes that, that actually tells us, hey, actually, all these changes that take place in your life, none of this is new. Yeah. All of this is like the same thing that takes place in everyone else's lives in different ways. It manifests itself in different ways, but there's nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. Do you ever look at that verse? Do you ever think about the book of Ecclesiastes? Sometimes mm-hmm. people have a negative outlook on the book in general. Do you ever look at that and think, well, change is futile. I might mm-hmm. as well just stick with what I'm doing. There's a proverb in Proverbs 26 talking about like slothfulness mm-hmm. and it uses this perfect picture. It's just one of my favorite pictures in the book of Proverbs. It says mm-hmm. as a door that turns on its hinges,
yep.
like so is a slothful man. So mm-hmm. is someone who's not going to ever change. So is someone who's not ever going to participate or take some sort of action. Mm-hmm. The door, like we got a door here to get into our booth. Mm-hmm. It never goes anywhere but open and close on those mm-hmm. hinges. It never mm-hmm. moves. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the ecclesiastical view of change?
Yeah, so thinking about that viewpoint, you know, in Ecclesiastes of how life can be futile, you know, change can be futile, or we're like stuck in this circle, right? The sun goes up, I go to work, yeah. I come home from work, I eat dinner, I go to bed, I wake yeah. up the next day, go to work, all this, like, and that's how people live our lives. And something that I think, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. And I look at Ecclesiastes in the vanity that exists in that viewpoint of like,
yeah.
this is all my life is,
right?
You know, and like God has given us something more than just that circle of the sun goes up 100%. And goes down and comes up again the next morning. So like, yes, there are cycles and there are things that are the way that they are and have been the way they have been for 2000 years.
Right.
Like people are the way that they are, you know, and we see it in our culture, like things come and go, mm-hmm. like you save your clothes from 20 years ago because
they might
be back
come
in
back
style.
Into fashion.
Exactly. You see, you know, I don't know, people say that all the time.
Yeah.
But like with this, with Ecclesiastes, it's like the vanity of vanities. And in Ecclesiastes, it also says like under the sun, mm-hmm. under the sun, all these things
key
under
phrase,
the sun.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking of, we have to get beyond that. Like God is outside of what we have, like time and space of creation. And we have to live our lives beyond just the mundane of, mm-hmm. okay, work, yeah. weekend, work, weekend, or whatever the situation is,
yes.
because otherwise we will feel like, what's the point, you know? And mm-hmm. I feel like that's where people get to, like, is this all my life is about,
mm-hmm.
right? Is this all, like, did all this schooling, I went to college, and I got this degree, and
right.
now what, I'm supposed to work for the next 30 years of my life, or 40 years of yeah. my life, and then
try to
retire,
save up and retire,
and go to Florida, and then
play some golf, yeah. even though I'm terrible at it.
Exactly. Yeah. So like that, if that's all your life is, then change is like, doesn't make any sense. But mm-hmm. when we have God in our lives, where our life is so much bigger than just what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis, like, yes, what I'm doing is important every day, but mm-hmm. like our lives are so much bigger than that.
Yeah.
Like it's so much like we're as big as God is, that's how big our lives are. Right. Pastor Schaller has been talking about
yeah.
that recently in messages. So I think like, yeah, that Ecclesiastes, like there's nothing new under the sun, and that's true. And I think it helps us in relating to people, I think,
mm-hmm.
and also just like the practical aspects of life. But like when I'm changing, I have to recognize that God's beyond that.
Yeah.
And my life is beyond that because I am with God. Like my life has God in it. So my
right.
life is beyond that. So
that's a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I'm thinking a couple different things. Like the fact that we have the Holy Spirit, like we're co-laborers with God and we have the Holy Spirit inside of us.
Mm.
Think about the Holy Spirit's role at creation. Mm-hmm. In Genesis chapter 1, it says essentially like, the Spirit was upon the waters or upon the abyss,
mm-hmm.
and it was at God's word that the Holy Spirit went to work and creation took place.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this divine creativity started to reveal itself.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these changes, all of a sudden, just like the whole universe was upended
yeah.
with our planet and the other planets and the stars and everything that we don't even understand most mm-hmm. of it. Like we're trying to study it today and we don't understand most of it, but
mm-hmm.
We have that same Holy Spirit that created the universe inside of us,
mm-hmm.
causing change in our own lives. And none of it is vain. None of it
yeah.
is like, Ecclesiastes is written from one of the wisest men to ever walk mm-hmm. the earth, Solomon, most likely written by Solomon.
Yeah.
And his understanding of the importance of his relationship with God.
Yeah.
Like he would not have had that wisdom if he had not asked God for it. He mm-hmm. would not have had that change take place in his life. And he's comparing his walk with God with his walk without God and mm-hmm. what living under the sun looks like, mm-hmm. what, you know, seeking after love and seeking after answers to questions and seeking after your purpose and your identity outside of God, how mm-hmm. none of it really makes sense. But when mm-hmm. you start to include God,
yeah.
when you start to fear him is the word that he uses at the end. This is mm-hmm. the conclusion of the matter.
Yeah.
When you start to fear him, then your whole perspective changes, and then the changes that take place in your life, they really do have meaning and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing I get out of it that I enjoy about it.
Yeah. And I mean, if it's, and there's any example for how the changes outwardly don't impact you inwardly. I mean, Solomon, like having all the, or the, you know, talking about all these different things that, oh, when I get this thing, my life will change. Or when I do that thing, my life will change. And
yeah.
like, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And then, like you said, fearing God and keeping his commandments, that's what it's all about. And the Holy Spirit yeah. brings that to light inside of us because it's, you know, transforming power that he has, right? He mm-hmm. is quickening us and pointing us towards Christ. And that work that he did in creation was, you know, the incredible transformation that took place from nothing to what we have today. So I think it's like, the Holy Spirit is a huge part of that in our lives in general, mm-hmm. obviously, but like in the changes that we have, and maybe not so much changes that we see, but mm-hmm. a change of our perspective, like you said, or change of our heart attitude towards a particular thing. Because yeah. maybe we're looking for change and change isn't happening.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, the outward changes that we're hoping for. Yeah.
Exactly. So we're like, okay, this needs to change. This needs to change. This needs to change. And then, yeah. like we said, not everything is in our control. So mm-hmm. we can't really change everything about our circumstances. So maybe the Holy Spirit can do a work in us as well mm-hmm. for when we want change mm-hmm. and it's not happening.
Yeah.
Right? Because yeah. he can make a difference in our way we view that thing yep. and change our heart as opposed to changing our outward circumstances. And we give that thing, whatever it is that we want to have changed, whatever, naturally speaking or practically speaking. And God says, you know, that's not going to change.
Right.
And I'm able to live with it, even though it's something that I want to have different,
sure.
be different, you know?
Yeah. So. I mean, I think that really relates to our last question. I'm not going to get into it right now. But a couple examples come to mind. I'm thinking of Paul and his thorn in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of sometimes wanting change to be a lust pattern, actually. It's more mm-hmm. it's more just something we're consumed with and we want to see happen. And that'll go, yeah, right in line with our third question.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get there, one other thought I had for normalizing change in our lives. There's a couple verses. One of them is from Ecclesiastes, and it's chapter 3 and verse 11. And it says something along the lines of, like, God has made everything beautiful mm. in his timing. Mm-hmm. So like when we're looking more to God than mm-hmm. we are ourselves and we're trusting his timing rather than our own timing,
mm-hmm.
whenever a change does take place, it'll be for the greater benefit of everyone. That's Romans 8:28. All things work together for good
mm-hmm.
to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then finally, we go back to that passage in 2 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
Is it chapter 4? Chapter 4. It says, it says, all things are for your sake.
Mm-hmm.
All things are for your sake. So whether the change comes or whether it doesn't come, we're normalizing the fact that it could come. We're aware of like the sudden changes and sudden impacts that could take place in our life. But we're more aware of the fact that God is leading the way in our lives, that he's mm-hmm. he's helping us, he's guiding us through it, he's leading us into all truth.
Mm-hmm.
He's comforting us when we need comfort, he's correcting us when we need correction, and he's doing everything to draw us closer to him. So it's mm-hmm. like all things are for our sakes,
mm-hmm.
and it's ultimately, the end of that verse, it's ultimately for his glory.
Yeah.
So that's like, I don't know, to me that's comforting to know that whether a change does take place or doesn't take place, like God has our best interests in mind
mm-hmm.
and has the greater good of all believers everywhere in mind for these changes.
Yeah. And like thinking about that, going back to like the very beginning that what we were talking about, like what's the why am I changing?
Yeah.
What
right.
is it because I want to be in a different position. I want people to notice me. I want the notoriety. I want the fame. I want success. I want whatever it is. Or is it that I am wanting to bring glory to God?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's like part of that maybe struggle that we experience as human beings. Like, my life is not my own.
Yeah.
Right. I am not the point of my life, which is really difficult. Like, even for me to like, okay, this is not what it's about. And I was thinking about, in Matthew 7, it talks about the wide path that leads to destruction.
Yes.
And the narrow path that leads to life, and how, you know, there are many who are on that wide path.
Yeah.
Right. There's lots of people on this path that are, you know, going through life and they're making these changes and making these adjustments in their life, changing careers, changing relationships, changing all these different things. And they're walking down this path together. But then, you know, moving from that path to the narrow path where I'm following in the footsteps of Jesus, like this change that we take, that takes place, it goes from our life being small, like the path is wide, but it's really small,
mm-hmm.
because people are doing their own thing and doing what they see is right in their own eyes. And mm-hmm. we see how that fails from the book of Judges. But,
yeah.
but, now we're moving to like this narrow path where we're following in Jesus and our life gets so big.
Mm-hmm.
And like my life now is, and actually it's in 2 Corinthians 5. It talks about, mm-hmm. you know, the temporary state that we have of this life. Like mm-hmm. our life here on earth is not it.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Our life is really about eternity when we see Jesus and when we are with him and when we will be like him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right now, this life that we're living, yes, it's like the only experience that we have maybe, or like what we're going through now seems like it's very important, but it says in this, like in this chapter that, you know, it's a temporary place.
Yeah.
And am I able to live my life with that mentality? That will dictate whether or not this is a healthy change or not. Like, is mm-hmm. this preserving my life here?
Mm-hmm.
Is this making my circumstances better here, puffing myself up, making me be a better person right. and make other people see me for who I am, more followers, more this, more that?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it something that is, you know, pointing me more towards Christ and looking forward towards that and being his representative and his ambassador
yeah.
to people on this earth? Because that's what this life is really about, as
right.
opposed to the alternative where my change is meant to help me have a better life
yeah.
here on earth.
Yeah.
But really, like, this change that we're talking about is my life here is not what it's about.
Right.
But it's pointing me towards what God has for me in the eternal life that we are living. And when we're on that narrow path, we kind of get a glimpse of what that's like, because
yeah.
now our lives are not just, you know, the end point of 80 years or however many years that mm-hmm. I actually live and breathe on this earth, but it's actually way more, way beyond that. So
yeah.
My life changes, the purpose of my life changes in that way.
Yeah.
And so does my decisions and the things that I do.
Yeah, we're living for eternity, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting that Greek word metamorpho, the only other time it's used apart from the two verses we mentioned,
mm-hmm.
is whenever Jesus is being transfigured on the Mount.
Mm.
And that's like a perfect picture to say that the change that we are all desiring or groaning for in 2 Corinthians 5, mm-hmm. verse 2, the heavenly tabernacle, the heavenly dwelling, the change that we're all ultimately desiring is that of like a glorified body and a glorified life,
mm-hmm.
Part of the body of Christ in heaven.
Yeah.
We're not like, what are some things we all chase after while we're here on the earth? Money is a big one. We
mm-hmm.
all chase after riches and wealth. There's the story of the man who had too much to fit into one barn in mm-hmm. Luke, maybe chapter 12. And he goes to build a second barn and God says, you fool, tonight your soul is required of you.
Yeah.
He didn't worry about building the glorified body, the eternal nature of his mm-hmm. walk with God. He wasn't even like focused on God. He was focused on mm-hmm. his things. There's yeah. a proverb about money that says, like, you know, why do you labor to be rich? Money grows itself wings and flies away.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
mm-hmm.
it's here today and gone tomorrow.
That's right.
There's so much to be said about eternal change and
yeah.
what we can do. I think it's Matthew chapter 6, like building for ourselves treasures in heaven
mm-hmm.
as opposed to treasures here on the earth where moth and rust can destroy.
Yeah.
So what changes are we seeking after? What And this all falls in line with question two. I think question two says, how do we let the Spirit lead us in creating change instead of us manufacturing change? And maybe just to say before I let you answer, Pastor Paul, like if we're the ones manufacturing change, we're probably going after those things that don't have any eternal benefit in the long run, that don't have any sway on our walk in relationship with God after this life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like when we're trying to make things happen.
Yeah.
Right. We see examples of that in the Bible where, you know, God has a plan. And we see it with Peter, you know, Jesus says, I'm going to go and I'm going to die. And Peter says, not over my dead body.
Right.
You know, you're not going to do that. And he says, get behind me.
Yikes.
Right. So like,
yeah.
Sometimes like our best attempts to change for, you know, to, we perceive it as healthy change. Maybe it's actually, you know, something that we have, made to be something bigger than it is.
Yeah.
You know, and we need that Spirit leading us and guiding us in what those changes are that we need to have in our lives, because we, you know, sometimes we're still thinking under the sun in the practical and like this or that and relationships and, you know, interacting with other people and all those different things that go into the decisions that we make and the changes that we make. But the Spirit is leading and guiding us. And we are kind of, I don't know, maybe it's culturally where like, well, I guess it's also like personality wise. Some people are less likely to go for things.
True.
Some people are more maybe passive or they're kind of hesitant to go after things. So we have like, there's different ways that I think the Spirit leads us in these different changes and, you know, trusting in God. I in talking with some of the youth, you know, some of the seniors as they're kind of thinking about what they want to do after they're graduating high school, right? Mm-hmm. It's a huge decision to make and it's a huge change that happens in their lives. Like everything is, you know, I go to school at this time, I get picked up at this time, go to this class, this, you know, everything is organized and then they graduate and now it's like, you get to do what
it's
you want
to
do,
yeah.
Right? And I'm like, it sounds amazing, but also the responsibility and the burden of that falls on you now. So like, am I going, you know, should I be the person that kind of just doesn't do anything and then someone else does it for me, or making a decision and making, determining what I want to do and trusting God. And then, okay, maybe it wasn't the right thing. Maybe I'm not going to be a nurse, but I went and I saw and I tried and now I can adjust and make that adjustment and let God lead me in whatever my decisions are.
Yeah.
You know, so changing, big moments in our lives as we grow, as we learn, those changes happen to us sometimes and we are having to rely, if we rely on our own understanding, like we're going to make mistakes, obviously.
Yeah.
We're going to, you know, we're prone to wander. We're prone to, you know, make mistakes, do things that aren't the best for us, but we have God with us who's leading and guiding us. So we have the trusting in the Spirit and, thinking with God, walking in the Spirit, not grieving or quenching the Spirit as we're doing these things and making these changes, I think, makes it possible for us to have healthy change or to have these changes or recognize when a change that I made in my life wasn't so healthy.
Yeah.
You know, and I can make the adjustment to, something that I know to be true. Like those habits we were talking a little bit about, what are some healthy habits that I can have in my life that if I'm not sure, I can go to these things that kind of can help me recognize, okay, is this the right thing to do or not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think are some of those healthy habits or places I can go to get that guidance?
Yeah. I mean, they kind of have to be objective habits, I guess. Yeah, I guess we can call it that.
Mm-hmm.
I think, well, it depends. Prayer can be subjective or objective.
Yeah.
But I think prayer can be a really powerful, like cleansing mechanism of ridding ourselves of our own thoughts and allowing God's thoughts to kind of permeate everything and fill us so that we can be thinking with Him. So, you know, not that you have to do this, not that any part of our salvation or our walk with God is works, but just to start building these habits in your life, like little building blocks to help give you a chance to reset yourself and your relationship with God on a daily basis, whether that's, you know, going into your closet alone for 5 minutes and just being quiet, saying, God, what do you have for me today? Mm-hmm. God, you know, how can I be mindful of you today. Hmm. That's like one simple example. Another one is just like opening your Bible, reading a proverb a day, reading a couple psalms a day, getting the mind of God, like letting the word wash over you, mm-hmm. renew your mind that way. You are taking your thoughts and putting them like under, below, mm-hmm. submitting them yeah. to what God has to say.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you find that the Bible speaks to you too.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the Bible speaking to you, all of a sudden these changes start to take place in your life and you yeah. have no idea where they came from.
Yeah.
So these are just like some simple healthy habits. We could like, you know, we could say church attendance, we could say Bible studies, we could say Bible college. I could like give, mm-hmm. give a plug for the Bible college. It's not my intention today, but just to say, hey, we have free classes this week. Come check them out. We could say all those things, but yeah. did you have any healthy habits you wanted to share?
Well, I mean, the prayer and Bible, the reading of the Bible, those are two main ones. And I've noticed in my own life when mm-hmm. like there's uncertainty and when I'm like not sure what I should be doing.
Yeah.
Or like I'm anxious and worried and fearful about something. I can correlate it with like times in my life or times when I'm like haven't emphasized the Bible
uh-huh.
on a daily basis or on a consistent basis. I'm like, why am I always like frustrated about what's going on in my life? It's like, oh, when's yeah. the last time I read my Bible, you know, yeah, whatever sure. it was.
Yeah.
I think, you know, seeking wise counsel.
Yeah.
Like when I'm, whatever the changes are, like we talked about geographic changes and those mm-hmm. types of things. If I'm thinking about switching careers or switching jobs or switching locations or whatever it is, I think somebody that's going to speak truth to me.
Yeah.
That I can trust that they're not going to say it for their own benefit or to, you know, to, you know, detract me, but really they'll give me some counsel that is true or, you know, that can really help me in that, along with the Bible and the prayer.
Yeah.
'Cause I think, sometimes we make these changes in a vacuum. We'd make these decisions in a vacuum that change our lives and they change, you know, people around us. And we don't recognize all the implications or the results of these consequences of these changes that we're making in our lives. And if I would have talked to somebody, they might've given me a bit of like, are you sure you want to do that
yeah.
because of this and this and this?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I didn't even think about those huge parts of this decision or this change that I'm making in my life. So I think, yeah, wise counsel, from others who are going to speak truth to me and be honest with mm-hmm. me, not just say what I want to hear.
Not sugarcoat, not, yeah.
Yeah, because like we yeah. can seek counsel from people that we know what they're going to say and just kind of co-sign on our decision that we make without really asking any questions or really giving me any beneficial communication. It's just, yeah, sounds like a good idea. Go ahead, do that
yeah.
thing. And they don't,
right.
but they don't have to live with the consequences. right. I do, you know what I mean? So
they're just like your yes man or your go-to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I know they are. So I go to them and say, hey, what do you think? And
they're, go for it. Yeah. Okay, perfect. Thank exactly. you. That's all I needed.
Because their life falling apart too. And they don't know what's, you know, whatever the case may be.
It's yeah.
So I think that's, yeah, prayer, wise counsel and the Bible, like some consistency with that, going back and listening to what God has to say
yeah.
for those things. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe one more thing to add. And then we have a really interesting question that came in by email, but, just quickly in Psalm 51:10, David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, mm-hmm. and renew a right spirit within me. And then again in Psalm 139, I'm not sure if that's David or not, but he says something like, search me, O God, and know my heart.
Mm-hmm.
See if there be any wicked way in me, mm-hmm. you know my thoughts and like test me, like see what's going on. But both of these instances, the psalmist is like giving it to God. The psalmist mm-hmm. is saying, Holy Spirit, God, Jesus Christ, yeah. you need to do the work. Like, I can't do it. I could try, I could strive, I could push for it,
yeah.
but I might not be able to do anything. Like Paul and his thorn in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
he can try anything he could to get rid of this, like, this weakness in his life.
Yeah.
But God's ultimate answer is, my grace is sufficient for you. Walk in that. Walk in your weakness. Take glory in your weakness, because in your weakness, my strength is showing through you.
Mm-hmm.
And like, though you're a weak man, though you have this sin in your life or this, what's it call it? Like a messenger of Satan buffeting mm-hmm. you.
Yeah.
Like my provision will come through for you
yeah.
in your life, and people will see my provision rather than your own strength.
Yeah.
Isaiah 40 verse 31, like mm-hmm. they that wait upon the Lord, their strength is renewed.
Yeah.
Right. So let's go to this question. Hopefully our producer here can get the whole question on the screen. I'm going to start reading it. It says, I need wisdom. This is from a guy named Jonathan. He wrote us an email during the show. I need wisdom as a young person in my church. What should my attitude be when I see things being done in what I would say is an old way. I want to be humble and respectful, but I also want things to move forward and not be stuck. Can you help me? That's a really great question. That's a very true question. You're writing this question to two 30-some-year-olds in a church. So we have opinions and we have thoughts and we have to temper them.
Yeah.
And we have to decide whether or not it's a good time to bring it up, mm-hmm. who we bring it up to,
yeah.
what kind of spirit we're of whenever mm-hmm. we bring it up. I'm thinking of James and John, sons of thunder. And they come to Christ and say, hey, these people aren't following you. These people are doing things wrong. Can we rain fire down on this village like mm-hmm. Sodom and Gomorrah?
Yeah.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
And Christ goes to them, you don't know what spirit you are of. Mm. So you're a young man in a church and you have ideas and you have thoughts and maybe you're ambitious and you have vision for your life. That's amazing. We love that. Mm-hmm. We want to stoke that fire. Mm-hmm. But we also want you, 1 Peter chapter 5, to humble yourself before God. Mm-hmm. And what does it say? It says something really cool in 1 Peter 5. This is like one of those verses that as a young man in ministry, I'm self-proclaiming myself as a young man in ministry. That I cling to. It says, 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. One last thing, and then Pastor Paul, it's all yours. Sorry.
No. Okay.
There's a time and a season for everything, Jonathan. There's a time and a season for everything to take place. And maybe you have some excellent ideas. Maybe they are going to happen at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be walking with God and talking with God to know when the right time is to mention it. And if you're going to take it to someone who has no sway and no decision-making capability and someone who will just turn it into a conspiracy rather than some sort of like consideration for an effectual change, you got to be careful about who you talk to about it. So what do you think about that question, Pastor Paul?
I think like this old way versus the younger way or versus we already mentioned Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
But I think like we have this generational thing that exists within our churches where we have, well, especially in our church here in Baltimore, like people that have been coming here for 40 years, mm-hmm. you know, the church has been here, you know, been in existence for over 50 years. It's like, there are some things that are going to be that they're going to be the way they are.
Yeah.
And they're going to be that way. And like humbling ourselves and recognizing like what is important about this? Like
yeah.
I am coming to church to receive.
Mm-hmm.
I am coming to church to have fellowship with other people. I am coming to church to, get closer to God and learn his word and develop. But I'm not necessarily going to enjoy everything about everything that happens in the church service. And maybe it doesn't appeal to my natural senses or what
right.
I would prefer it to be
sure.
like, you know, and especially now in the culture we live in, like you see all the other things that other churches are doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like in a way, if that didn't exist, then mm-hmm. we wouldn't know any better. We would just be enjoying, I mean, maybe not, maybe we would obviously, we're human beings. We're still going to make our opinions known and communicate the things we like or dislike, but I feel like it wouldn't be as in front of our eyes because we're not seeing what all these cool young churches are doing with like smoke machines and lights and all these different things. But like, what's the point of what we're doing in church? And I think like the old way, and you were saying being careful of who you say things to
mm-hmm.
and, making your heart known in
yes.
those things.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to just change this thing because I want to change it.
Right.
I don't want to just change it because you're old and I'm young and I'm better than you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, chronological snobbery as C.S. Lewis talked about.
Oh, wow. That's a good term.
Right. I am younger and we're smarter and that, you know, we're better than you. So you need to listen to us.
It's a terrible attitude.
And change the way that you're doing things. Like, because obviously the way that things have been happening, well, as our church is an example, for 40 years, so many churches all over the world, it's working.
Yes.
Right. But like recognizing why it is that I want that change to happen, going all the way back to the beginning. Like,
right.
Why do you want these things to change?
Right.
And maybe it's because you want more of your people your age to be and enjoying and, mm-hmm. and loving church, but mm-hmm. also like the humility that we need to have. And I was thinking of Peter and Acts where, you know, don't call, what does God say? You know, God, the sheet comes down with the animals yeah. for him to, you
don't
know,
call common. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't. Yeah. What is it? What God has cleansed, you must not call common.
Yeah.
Right. God has, you know, ordained for these things. And Peter has having a trouble with this change that, you know, that was happening where yeah. Gentiles and Jews were both part of the same church. And, you know, we're just trusting God for some of these things. And yes, maybe if we had it our way, we would change some of the different things that happen, but mm-hmm. communicating those things and the purpose and our heart behind that, because we want to see God's work move yes. on. And the reality is the next generation, you know, however many years it is between now and then,
yeah.
that's who's going to be taking the baton and moving on the next steps of the ministry. So it's not, you know, something to say, just be quiet, you young guys,
right.
you know, we'll yeah. take it from here until, right. you know, until you have to take it over type of deal. But I think there's a balance there that can exist where we're humbling ourselves. There's yeah. humility both ways.
Yes.
Where we're just looking to see what God has for us and seeing where we can move forward in that. And just being honest with those things in your yeah. heart about it. It's like, I don't have anything against you. It's just, this is what God is putting on my heart
right.
in order to minister to people, to further the gospel and be an ambassador for him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's
great.
Yeah.
A few closing thoughts. Jesus, commends the woman who's importunitous. She perseveres. She sticks with her thoughts, and she's like, she's not afraid to keep asking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he commends that person. At the same time, you have someone like Korah in the book of Numbers who came against Moses and Aaron with 250 men of renown
mm-hmm.
and with the wrong spirit and the wrong yeah. ideas. And, oh, you take too much upon yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to ask yourself, is what you're asking for, the changes you want to take place, is it for the furtherance of the gospel?
Yeah.
Is it for the unity of the body? Is it for, you know, the edification, the building up of everyone in love, or is it for some sort of personal gain, personal desire, self-exaltation? Mm-hmm. First Kings chapter, I don't know, one or five. No, First Kings chapter one, this guy named Adonijah self-exalts himself. It leads to death.
Mm-hmm.
You have to consider all these things.
Yeah.
And that ties in greatly with our last question. We can just say that we kind of covered it, but I'll read it to you anyway. What can we say about creating change for change's sake? We have to be careful.
Yeah.
It could be our fallen nature, but if it's Holy Spirit creativity,
mm-hmm.
It says this, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the Holy Spirit, the counsel of the Lord is going to shine through.
Mm-hmm.
The counsel of the Lord is going to come to pass.
Yeah.
The thing that he started, he's going to be able to finish
yeah.
With or without us. Any closing thoughts, Pastor Paul?
I mean, with that one, as far as making, just changing things for change's sake, I think it's common for people to kind of make changes just because they're bored
mm-hmm.
or they're just familiar or comfortable with what's going on and they
yeah.
want to just change it up,
yeah.
you know, for whatever reason. And I think, like you said, being careful with that and knowing why it is that I'm doing what I'm doing and trusting God in those changes that are happening. I don't need to change things. If things are working and I'm following God and trusting in him, I don't need to change much, maybe. But I need to draw closer to God and recognize him in those, in the circumstances of my life. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. You heard our episode on what does healthy change look like for the week long, edition on healthy change. This has been Pastor Paul Angelonis joining us today, and myself, Pastor Matt Garrett. Please don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Be sure to continue joining us throughout the week for more topics on healthy change. Thank you guys so much for following along and giving us comments, and we appreciate you guys very much. Have a great day.